The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
And man, there's so much to talk about in regards to the Bears. This is really our first opportunity to break down what we saw at rookie minicamp at Halas Hall last weekend and look ahead to next week's OTAs when things get a little bit more real for the Bears. Hi, everyone. Good evening. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. You can join us at 312-644-6767. All right, Tom, so you had a chance to watch the tape, break it all down. What stood out to you watching these rookies, specifically the draft class last weekend?
You know, it seems like they all belonged on the NFL stage. We talked about what small colleges a lot of these guys have come from, but nothing looked too big for those guys. And when you look at the other guys that have an opportunity to participate, it was a really competitive atmosphere out there. And you got to imagine the stress that's on the coaches there, because one thing about the rookie minicamp is having a majority of young guys that have never heard the system before, they got to hear it in the meetings and they got to take it out in the field. When you get into a full minicamp or you get into the training camp and you have all the veterans in the room already, a lot of these guys are familiar with the system and they can take you by the hand a little bit, or they can lead by example. When you look at these guys getting on a field for the first time, I didn't see any big glaring mistakes. I didn't see anybody that didn't, you know, fulfill their obligations out there. So it's just going to be interesting to see how they go forward, because now you have a sample of what they can do athletically on the field. You have an understanding of what they can absorb mentally in the classroom. Now you got to go forward and see how much you can give them going into the remainder of OTAs, mini camp, and then training camp.
And to continue on Tom's point, Jim, something that Dow Loggins, the Bears offensive coordinator, said last weekend kind of stuck with me, and I want you to elaborate on this a little bit. He said that they tried to make things as stressful as possible, even though it was a rookie minicamp, for Mitchell Trubisky, the number one draft pick, the guy who's the quarterback of the future. And they said that they did it by giving him a large install and just trying to make life difficult out there on the field. You've made the transition. What do you think is the toughest thing that he's got to deal with from what he did in college to just an NFL practice and being successful and getting a coaching staff to trust him?
Well, that's it, number one. The volume of information is just more. You know, you've got more meeting time now. This is your job now. I mean, let's face it. You're not going to class. You know, he's not at Chapel Hill anymore. Doesn't got to worry about going to classes. Your class is that meeting room every single day. And that information that is being put on you and that you are accountable for when you go out to practice. So, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. I think everybody knows that. But football is not a comfortable situation. If everything's comfortable, you know, everybody could go out there and do it, whether at every position. So how you make it comfortable for yourself when everything's going awry is knowing your assignments and knowing your responsibility and knowing what you're supposed to do in situations that you're in on every given play, because that, you know, it happens on game day where it's never going to be perfect, right? Maybe a guy misses a block. That's a stressful situation when you got an outside linebacker who's got a free beeline right to take your head off as a quarterback. So you should never feel comfortable. And you always got to be on your toes. And the guys who prepare for all those type of situations and know their assignments and understand what needs to be executed and how it needs to be executed, they're the ones that make it look easy. And maybe whether it's for Mitchell Trubisky or Adam Shaheen or any of the other draft picks, that's the goal, is to get to that point. I don't think you're ever, and you should never feel comfortable as a quarterback, but or any player, but if you're prepared, you feel more comfortable that you'll be able to go out and execute your job, because nothing is ever perfect on game day.
Memorizing things is probably the biggest thing for him right now. He was talking about how he's using flashcards, because it's not just memorizing every single play, it's understanding why you're running the play that you're running in the particular situation that you're running it, and also understanding, because this is where it gets tough for a quarterback. you don't just have to know the offensive play. You have to know what every single person that's out there is doing. It's not just your job. You have to know everybody else's job as well.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about the trajectory for quarterbacks. You know, really the first year is that's what it is. You're focusing on just learning your offense, knowing your guys' assignments, where guys are lining up, formations, shifts, you know, audibles, all those type of things. Year two, you kind of dive more into the defense and learn more about coverages and blitzes and how to attack certain defenses because you feel you've got that base of your offense knowledge behind you, and now you're moving on and you're growing as a player. And then kind of year three, you're starting to put it all together, you know. And then by year four, for young quarterbacks, the trajectory is that's when your career should start to be taken off, i.e. the Russell Wilsons. Look where Cam Newton's at now. He kind of took off year four, and that goes for a lot of quarterbacks. So that's kind of the trajectory. And, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, he's getting a start, but you're right. You got to attack it like that. I think I brought up the story, too. I used to have my wife, we'd call plays every night before we went to bed. I'd have her throughout the personnel groupings. I would call the play formation of what that personnel grouping, all the plays that we could call from those personnel groupings. And that way, on game day, I would call it before John Shoup or the offense coordinator even had to be, all right, we're going this personnel grouping. I see the players that they're bringing in. Boom, I know he wants this play. And I'm thinking ahead of the game at that point because I had memorized it so much that, you know, you're just so prepared and locked in. And that gives you a chance. It gives you a chance to win on game day.
Tom, in addition to just watching these guys out there on the field, I think something that sticks out is what they say when in front of the media. Because I'm guessing that first rookie minicamp when Mitchell Trubisky came off the field, he never had a crowd of reporters around him at North Carolina the way he did, analyzing his first ever practice as a Bear. And he was peppered with questions about Mike Glennon and whether or not the time that he had to spend as a backup at North Carolina is going to benefit him learning from Mike Glennon. And it just seemed to me that in listening to him talk, this guy isn't coming in here to be a backup. I understand what's been said, and the Bears have made it very clear that Mike Glennon begins this offseason as the Bears' starting quarterback for 2017. And I understand that they've said that if all goes well, you're not going to see Mitchell Trubisky this year. But I don't think that Mitchell Trubisky's coming in here thinking that he's going to sit for all of 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Mitchell Trubisky should have the attitude that he's here to be a backup. I don't think that's what any of the Bears personnel wants, and I don't think that's what the Bears want in terms of his mentality. It may work out that Mike Glennon is the starter just because right now he's a better ready NFL quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky is. So again, Jim talked about a lot of the growing pains that he's going to face in his the early portions of the year and how difficult everything's going to be. So I mean, yeah, I want him to have the attitude that I'm the starter of the Chicago Bears the day they drafted me. But again, you know, Mike Glennon's going to come in here and the competitor in him is going to have something to say about that.
We'll find a little bit out about these rookies off the field next when Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K Saturday, June 24th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabeman, and we're pleased to be joined for the first time on Bears All Access by the Bears second round pick, the tight end from Ashland. He is a big man, bigger than Tom, at 6'6", 277 pounds. That's what they list him right now. We're talking about Adam Shaheen. And Adam, welcome to the program. Most people finally got an opportunity to find out a little bit about you over the last couple of days, because I don't know if you've had an opportunity to take a look at the front page of the paper, but there is a huge photo of you in that singlet that you guys wear at the combine, and you're holding a burrito the size of my head. I mean, I'm sure your teammates are already making fun of that picture.
I actually haven't seen it yet.
You're going to love it. And for those that don't know, Adam used to be a college basketball player, went to a game in Columbus, Ohio, between Ohio State and Wisconsin, and all of a sudden that football bug hit him, and he decided to transfer, went to Division II Ashland, walked on the football team, became a football player, and eventually ended up in the NFL. But he started his football career at 210 pounds, and you managed to get up to 280. How'd you do it?
You know, like everyone likes to say, it's very true. I did eat a lot of Chipotle. But the main thing was just a lot of consistency and a lot of really hard work in the weight room over those 2 years, really. Just very, very consistent and just working my butt off.
Hey, Adam, I got a question. Pittsburgh Johnstown, the first school you went to, did they not have a football team?
They do not have a football team. No, they don't.
So when you decided to give up basketball, you already had your sights set on Ashland, where that was going to be your next destination for the football side of you.
I called my high school coach after I decided I wanted to switch, and there's a school right in Columbus called Ohio Dominican, and it was between them and Ashland, and I ended up going with Ashland.
Well, Adam, Jim Miller here. Welcome to Chicago. Congratulations on getting drafted, and talk to you at the combine. And when Zach mentions that you went to that Ohio State game and the football bug hit you, what exactly was it? Was it the physicality of it, the camaraderie of it? What drove you back to football?
All the above.
Here, because like Zach said, here you are, 210 pounds. And that whole time, you're working your fanny to get stronger, to get better, and master the crafts and transfer the trade of basketball over to football. We've seen a lot of guys do it from a basketball standpoint, but you kind of just went all in, my friend. What was that? What was that drive that did it for you?
I think I really missed the game coming out of high school. I didn't have many opportunities to, you know, play and get money for like scholarship money, but I did for basketball. So the logical thing was to play basketball, and then I went to that game, and it was just kind of eye opening. Like, man, I do miss physicality, I do miss the brotherhood, I miss the atmosphere, everything about it, really. So it was a no brainer to go back all in.
Visiting with Bears second round pick Adam Shaheen, 6'6", 277 pounds, former basketball player turned football player. Was there ever a point when you were trying to put on the weight and get in the kind of shape and become the kind of football player that you eventually became, where you doubted whether or not you could and you started to miss basketball?
The first time I really got on the field at Ashland, I was very undersized, and I hadn't played for a year, never played the tight end position, so it was kind of overwhelming to be learning, you know, everything. I felt like I was drowning sometimes, but there was never a doubt in my mind once I said, you know, I want to do this, I want to be, you know, a player at Ashland, that I was going to, you know, fall through with that.
You know, Adam, there's a tight end is most a position with a lot of versatility. Whether you're on the line of scrimmage, you're the backside tight end, you could be H-back, you could be lined up as fullback, and you think of all the different job requirements there. What aspect of basketball are you going to bring to the football field with you? Is it the feet work you learned? Is it the hand-eye coordination, taking passes near the basket? Or is it your defensive skills?
I think the biggest thing is just those 50-50 balls kind of going up and just having that concentration. You know, that's something that I've always, that, you know, just kind of comes natural. It's just going up and, you know, catching the ball in traffic or catching the ball with little contact. I mean, that's just something that, you know, you're always getting in basketball. And obviously, you have most basketball guys have pretty decent feet under them. And that's something I think that, despite all the weight gain, I've managed to keep.
The biggest eye opener for you coming out of the rookie minicamp, things you feel you got to work on, maybe things that surprised you. What were your thoughts as you learn to become a pro, and really the schedule really picks up, I believe, from college? Your thoughts on that?
I'm really excited about it. I love to be in the weight room. I love all that stuff, obviously, and just learning to set up and get into a routine that I can follow on an hourly, weekly basis that I can really maintain throughout the season. That's something that I'm excited to learn and master.
Second-round pick, Bears rookie tight end Adam Shaheen is with us here on Bears All Access. Most people don't know, you left Ashland early. So that tells me that there came a point early on where you realized you weren't just dominating the players at the level that you were playing, but people began to tell you that you could take this to the next level. Was there a point in time where you began to believe, this is something I can do for a living?
After that 2015 season, I kind of looked at myself and was like, you know, I think I could play at the next level. And then going into that 2016 season, you know, I didn't know if I was going to, you know, stay or go, but I knew that if I didn't take care of business in 2016, that there wouldn't even be a decision to make. So I really just tried to, you know, keep it in the back of my head, always knowing it was there, but at the same time, I had to go out and play every single play. And so that was kind of my mindset throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, scouts had been rolling through pretty much weekly every practice. So I just kind of thought, you know, I've done everything I could do at this level. Is it really going to help my draft stock? And so that was the decision. And, I mean, I think I made the right one.
Hey, Adam, you know, when you look at the facilities that you're involved with in Ashland University, when you come back and you pull in the Hallis Hall, you see the size of the weight room, you see the practice fields right behind the facility, you go to a state-of-the-art cafeteria, the locker rooms are beautiful. Is that a significant change of what you're used to through your college careers, or did you happen to have great facilities at Ashland University that is comparable to what you'll see in the future?
You know, Ashland had some of the best facilities in the Division II anywhere in Ohio, really. They had some of the best Division II facilities. But, I mean, I have to say, you know, the Hallis Hall is just another level. I mean, they got everything. They take care of you. It's awesome.
Well, in terms of playbook material, certainly a lot's going to be introduced, and more is yet to come with the OTAs and training camp. Talk about that transition. Maybe give the listeners an idea of the style of offense you ran at Ashland. How deep was the playbook and what you're going to be asked to do in the pros?
You know, Ashland's playbook, they tried to keep it very simple, but we did have a lot of pro style, a lot of different stuff that we did, as well as, you know, spread and some hurry up kind of offense. So, you know, talking to all these coaches throughout this process, they were like, you know, you really were exposed to a lot of this stuff. You weren't just playing the spread, which really hurts some of these guys that are tight ends, secondly.
Right.
So I was very blessed to have that. But, you know, this new playbook is just, you know, it's a whole nother step in, you know, my football understanding, as well as just that preparation, like you said earlier, just being a pro and understanding that, you know, it's going to take time to learn it all, and you have to be disciplined enough to sit down at night and do it.
How much does it help then? And we're talking with Adam Shaheen, the Bears' second-round pick, the tight end from Ashland. How much does it help that your initial roommate heading into Chicago is the first-round pick, the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky? And what's it like leaning on him in terms of learning to understand a more complicated playbook?
You know, it's great having somebody that's, you know, kind of in the same position, even more so because they're really the facilitator of the offense. He's got to really know everything. You know, it's great having him here that I can ask him, you know, hey, how do you want this route to look? What are you guys reading? It's a really beneficial kind of roommateship, I guess you'd say.
Hey, Adam, back in your college days, were you used all over the field like I think you will be in the NFL? Is the more information that you're able to dissolve that, I think the more opportunities you're going to get. Was part of your regular routine in college, or were you kind of more of a standard on the line of scrimmage tight end?
You know, that's a nice thing. I was used all over. I played the wing where I'd be pulling, or I played a lot of out wide, I played in the slot, and then I did a lot of the traditional hand-in-the-dirt stuff. So I really have been exposed to a ton of it, and I think it's really, really helpful getting here and, you know, being in that two-point stand-up and not looking like I don't belong out there.
Biggest surprise for you? Has anything surprised you so far? I know you're meeting a lot of people. You're getting you know, ingratiated to the city and all the sites and all those type of things. But what really has been the biggest surprise to you as you start to go to work every single day playing football?
I think the biggest thing is just the amount of, you know, the amount of people and the amount of help with everything from, you know, your nutrition plan to your lifting to your stretching to the equipment. Everything is, everybody in the in-house hall is really there to help you be the best that you can be. And it's, you know, I had a lot of great people at Ashland, but it was not, like I said, again, it was just not on this kind of level.
All right, a final few moments here with Adam Shaheen, the Bears rookie tight end. So are you allowed to continue eating the burritos at Chipotle? And for those that don't know, your go-to order is a burrito with double chicken and extra, extra white rice and just a little bit of corn kind of sprinkled in there, right?
Got it.
So are you allowed to continue eating that the same way you have been to this point based on the conversations you've had with the sports science staff at Halas Hall?
I am. I do believe I am. So that's a major plus.
Yeah, and he's already found the local Chipotle up there near the practice facility, so he's doing fine. And for those that don't know, you're from Ohio, big Cleveland Cavalier fan, huge LeBron fan, big NBA playoff fan, and you're a former basketball player. So break down what you saw in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I mean, I know these guys have been on there all day talking about LeBron. I mean, I got to just jump on that. I mean, I am lost for words of how you stop that guy. I think the Celtics are too.
Yeah, that is a great point. Maybe we'll start having you on as the NBA finals unfold. We'll have you on as the basketball analyst, because you come with a little bit of credibility in that area too. But don't forget about the football. Good luck with that. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Adam Shaheen, the Bears rookie tight end. You know, it's funny. I'm listening to Adam talk about just the terrific job that LeBron James has done. And then Tom Thayer was a Bear during Michael Jordan's heyday.
That's right.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that anyone's better than Michael, but man, LeBron James is in the conversation, Tom.
It's hard not to be impressed by what he's able to do. I was interested to think if Adam Shaheen thought LeBron James could actually play tight end in the NFL. I kind of thought you were steering him. Does this guy have what it takes to come out and play one of the tougher positions on the offensive side of the ball?
Hey, Shaheen or LeBron, I'll take either of them. That's a big target to throw to.
Hey,
that's right.
You ain't going to miss it.
I'll tell you again, with him 6'6", the quarterback is 6'6". I mean, the Bears have one of the tallest teams in the NFL. So if you start a pickup game in basketball between NFL teams, you know, the Bears as good as any team that you'll have in the National Football League. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Your phone calls 312-644-6767. Plus, let's break down what you guys thought from a football standpoint, what you heard from Adam Shaheen. That's next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday at Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week, an encore edition of Inside the Bears, Spice Adams and Peanut Tillman are throwing axes. You got to see it to believe it. Cam Meredith bravely accepts the phone challenge, and former Bears fullback Roland Harper was well known for leading the way for Walter Payton, but tune in to see just how he's leading the way today. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. Tom Thayer's here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. We just spoke with Bears rookie tight end, the second round pick, Adam Shaheen. And, you know, before we get to the football stuff, I think we forget sometimes that part of being a professional isn't just learning the playbook and understanding what's expected of you in the weight room, but it's also understanding how to eat, because these guys probably ate whatever they wanted when they were in college. And you heard Adam talk about how he spent a lot of time eating burritos and all that kind of stuff as he tried to go from 210 pounds to 280. But once you get into the NFL, it's a process in terms of what you're allowed to put into your body, understanding what it's going to take to maximize every ounce of physical ability you've got. And you also get fined if you don't weigh a certain amount, if you're overweight, if you're underweight, all that kind of stuff. Right, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to learn to manage it. And like you said, it's different for every team. I've had, some teams, at least for me, I've had to weigh as high as 230. Other teams, like for the Bears, Russ Reeder set my weight at like 215, which was kind of a struggle for me to get to 215 every single week on weigh-in. But, you learn to, what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, when to hydrate, all those type of things. And, sometimes you might have to hit the steam room before you have weigh-in. Make sure you don't get that fine. You got to learn that, too.
Tom, when you watched the tape of Adam Shaheen at rookie minicamp, what stood out? Because we talk about a guy being 6'6", nearly 280 pounds, and having the athleticism to be able to play college basketball. What translates when you see that size and athleticism out on the football field?
First of all, it's hard not to not notice his size, because he is a big guy. He looks like an offensive tackle getting in a stance next to another offensive tackle. That's how big he is. And then it's always in the back of your mind of, okay, he went to Ashland College. How are his small fundamental things going to be? His stance is perfect. The way he comes off the ball and he has a block on the line of scrimmage and he keeps his hands inside the framework of the body. How in tune with the quarterback snap count he is, so he's never laid off the ball. His footwork as the blocks go into one step to two step to three step, it's always about balance, about feet placement, making sure you have a base under you. All those little things he does really well, which surprised me as much as anything, because I did have concerns about specific techniques at this level. Would he be able to already have the knowledge given to him to be able to use it at this level? And it really looked like he had some good coaching earlier. But then you see him match up when he's running downfield, whether it's against a linebacker or a safety, how well he understands route running, not only the combinations that you have to do inside of every different route, but then where do you place yourself in terms of the defender and then break off to give the biggest window for the quarterback to throw the ball to? I think Adam Shaheen is a lot farther ahead in the tight end skills than maybe all of us thought when we heard Ashland University being introduced as the whereabouts of the Bears' second-round draft choice. So I think if this young guy, can stay healthy, be on the field every day, he's going to be a huge contribution offensively this year.
What's going to shock him when the pads come on in late July?
I think when you have an attitude across from him like Pernell McPhee, and you can go to rookie camp and you can succeed because everybody's kind of on the same level, on the same page, but he's not going to have the luxury to just get, kind of fed a little bit of information here and there. They're going to want him and need him to know the entirety of the playbook, assignments against every defense on first, second, and third down. And then when they run over and they're going to do one-on-ones or they're going to do 9-on-7 and the more physical periods of practice, and you have guys like the versatility of Willie Young, the commitment to practice like Pernell McPhee, the enthusiasm of Sam Acho and Leonard Floyd and his development stages, it's going to be some of the more difficult processes of Adam Shaheen throughout his rookie year is just the guys he's going to practice against on an everyday basis.
Jim, when you played quarterback in the NFL, did you have the opportunity to play with one of these former college basketball players that made the switch to tight end?
No, I can't recall that I did. I knew a lot of guys who changed positions and things like that, but no, not the direction it's gone as of late in the NFL. When I started out in Pittsburgh, I was with a really talented guy. Unfortunately, he had some off the field problems. But remember Eric Green, just how big and physical he was, a huge tight end. I mean, and nobody could guard that guy because he was just a physical presence on what he could do, and it was a problem for linebackers to deal with him. And he was as fast as some of the wide receivers and how they move, and he could creep up on safeties pretty quickly, and it literally would take 3 to 4 guys to bring him down. He was an absolute monster playing at over 280 pounds.
You know, because I remember talking to Martellus Bennett about this when he was with the Bears, and he was a former college basketball player, and he talked about in the red zone, you think about the struggles that the Bears had last season in the red zone. I think that's one of the things that was so appealing about Adam Shaheen is bringing a guy who can box out, because that's essentially what you're doing in the red zone. You're boxing out, creating space, and giving your quarterback a target.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's going to have to learn that. The body control, and he has it from his basketball days, and you get to learn to play the low paint and stuff like that when you're inside the box down there that we talk about. But, you know, like what Tom said, there's a lot of things that he's going to have to learn, you know, and it's going to – the thinking, the thought process has to speed up, because that's going to be the biggest adjustment is the speed of the game, identifying blitzes that maybe he's going to have to be the hot read on. So probably, you know, it's going to be a much more complicated defenses that he's going to see in the NFL than probably what he was ever exposed to at Ashland. He's a smart guy. I know he'll pick it up, but it's going to take time. There's no doubt it's going to take time.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Now, this guy was a second-round pick. One of the Bears' fourth-round picks, Tariq Cohen, the 5'6" running back from North Carolina A&T. Now, you flip on the college tape, and he talked about this, you'll see all these amazing moves. That's why they call them the human joystick in college. And he had a whole bunch of 80-yarders where you just make people miss. And he talked about how after one weekend in an NFL type of practice, and remember, rookie minicamp is filled with a bunch of guys who likely will never play NFL football. They're just trying to get themselves out there and get noticed. And he mentioned how those creases that were available in college at North Carolina A&T are not available. And this is at a rookie minicamp practice. What kind of an adjustment, Tom, just based on what you saw on tape, what kind of an adjustment do you think he's going to have, Tariq Cohen, when he starts to play NFL-level competition?
You know, it's a lot like the blessing that Jordan Howard has. He has the innate ability to understand how the progress of the blocking scheme is going to unfold in front of him, where linebackers are going to pursue to, and where is the impact zone at the line of scrimmage with the most powerful block of the offensive lineman. And that's what I think it's about. I think it's about a running back getting an understanding of the offensive line, understanding what's being called when they call the play in the huddle, and then you know, you become that instinctful player from that point on. So I do think it would probably be almost impossible to come in as a running back, and you think of all the different duties you have. You know, a tight end, he moves around all over, you know, on the line of scrimmage into the backfield. The running back is going to have more duties from his halfback position, whether it's deep in the backfield or more near the line of scrimmage. And it's going to be blocking players off the edge, blitzers in the middle, working with offensive linemen in terms of protection. But again, it's all about their instincts in running the football. So Tariq Cohen, I just do think, you know, probably for that position, it's probably a little bit of growing pains until he gets to the point where he gets into that comfort zone. You know, last year in training camp, not a lot of us knew what Jordan Howard was capable of until he got his opportunity in the Cleveland game. And then we saw some visions at the end of the preseason that say, wow, this guy has the ability to be a really good running back. And I think the same goes for Tariq Cohen. Give him some time, allow him to play at his most confident, and then that's where he's going to make it more challenging for the defensive players.
OTAs begin next week. This week, the rookies had a chance to kind of work alongside the veterans, but next week's a completely different level. I want to know, when we come back from Tom and Jim, what do you want to see? If you're a veteran player inside the Bears locker room, what do you want to see out of these rookies next week? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. 85 Bear, Tom Thayer's here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Saban. You can join us at 312-644-6767. So next week, the Bears begin OTAs, and that means you're out in the field. You got the helmet on. The rookies finally out there doing some real football things with the veterans. As veteran players, what are you guys, and what do you think the Bears veterans, I'm talking about the leaders of the team, what do they want to see, Jim, from these rookies?
Well, I think watch, learn. I think you, as a veteran, you want to see a young player who diligently goes about his business, to do it the right way, to be a good teammate, all the things we talk about. But, you know, you've got to earn it. Like anything else, you've got to earn it. And if veterans see young players working hard diligently and their love of the game, wanting to get better every single day to ingratiate themselves to a team, you'll earn that trust. And they'll respect your abilities on the field and what you bring to the table. You know, obviously Jordan Howard earned that last year. Maybe took some time to get to him, but he has earned it when you look at the young player. And I think the veterans took notice in what he did as a rookie, and I think they would expect the same type of transformation for these young rookies as they try to earn their respect to the other veterans in the locker room.
Another thing that kind of stood out to me last week, Dow Loggins talked about how there's a challenge going forward to make sure that the reps that these young players need, and he was talking specifically now about the quarterbacks, that these players are able to get the necessary reps. Because remember, Mike Glennon, yes, he's the veteran, but you know, he's inexperienced in terms of his NFL right. life, and Mitchell Trubisky obviously is learning everything for the first time. And Loggins didn't want to give away all the secrets of what he's got planned, but he did mention that he was going to have 2 7-on-7 sessions just to get extra reps in there. What do you think are some of the things that they can do to make sure that while Glennon is being groomed for 2017, you're not forgetting about Trubisky being groomed for when it's his time to be quarterback?
Yeah, and I think in the individual periods, you've got to, you know, you've got to play those mental games and challenge the player, and the player needs to challenge himself as if it is a team period. Meaning when you're calling out plays, you know, let's just say, you know, we do that drill where you're just doing mesh points at the beginning of a practice. It's quarterback center exchange, you got a running back there, and a lot of guys are just kind of going through the motions. You've got to act like it's a true rep. Make it a true rep. Make the most of that opportunity and practice with a purpose. What do I mean by that? Call out the play. Call out the run play you're going to execute. It's going to challenge you as if you're in the huddle calling the play just like a game situation. And those things all have to be taken advantage of by Mitchell Trubisky. And certainly Mike Glennon is going to get the bulk of the reps, but Mitchell Trubisky and the coaching staff are going to have to challenge those other quarterbacks for them to get the reps, meaningful reps that they need. They need to challenge themselves in those periods. And you want to know that it brings up a point, because the sad point is, and I hope I'm sure Tom feels the same way, think about two-a-days. Think about double days of practice with pads on, and now you can give those young players more reps just by the fact that you're practicing more and you're honing your skills more, and you can give a veteran maybe in the afternoon a little bit more time off and put the rookies to give them more reps. And it's a shame that no longer is available in the National Football League.
You know, one thing, too, is you got to be mentally ready. You can't be a rookie to go out there and afford to make any mistakes, because your reps are going to be so limited that you're not going to get a chance to make a mistake and then they're going to repeat the play. No, they're going to move on to the next play. And then you're going to get coached in meetings in front of everybody off of the tape. And the last thing you want to do is keep leaving these reminders up on the tape about the mistakes you as a rookie are making. Eventually, you're going to get your opportunity. But, you know, physically, they kind of know the reason you're in training camp is you've already fulfilled all those requirements. But if you can't fulfill those requirements mentally, they can't play you. If you can go into the weight room and you can lift the most and you can go on the track and you can run the fastest and you can do all these great things physically, but if mentally you can't go into a weight room and come out there with absolutely no mental errors during the course of the week going into the game, in the game itself, then all those physical attributes you had, they mean nothing to the coaches, because it's about the mental preparation. And when you talk about what can these guys do if they're not getting the physical reps on the practice field, is they better be living in their tablet to make sure, like Jim said, they understand the terminology. They know how to say it, what it means, and where everybody's going to be. Because when your opportunity does come, it's only going to come at a moment's notice. If someone in front of you gets injured, your opportunity is up, and you bet you, again, mental preparation is a key.
I feel like the blueprint is what we saw a year ago in Philadelphia during the entire offseason, where you had the experienced quarterback in Sam Bradford, the youngster in Carson Wentz, and a backup that understood things as well in Chase Daniel. When we come back, and I don't know if you guys have had a chance over the last year to talk to Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Eagles, and what he did to get everybody ready. But if you have, I'm really interested in finding out how Philadelphia made it work. We'll discuss next with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So there's a master plan at Halas Hall in terms of trying to get the quarterbacks ready. And in fact, a year ago, if you look at the way the Philadelphia Eagles were able to do it, they had the big veteran in Sam Bradford. They spent money during the offseason on a backup in Chase Daniel. And yet they still, with the second overall pick, drafted their quarterback of the future in Carson Wentz. They found a way to get everybody the necessary reps during the offseason, and Wentz established himself as the kind of guy you could play immediately, and that enabled them to trade Bradford when the Viking situation opened up right before the start of the season. Zach Sedman, along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. So, Tom, have you had a chance to kind of study the way the Eagles were able to successfully divvy up the reps to get the quarterback that they needed ready for the season?
You know, it's more of having a chance to talk to Doug Peterson, the head coach. You know, he and I played together with the Miami Dolphins, and then when Marino hurt his Achilles, Doug Peterson went on to play. But Don Shula felt that Doug Peterson wasn't ready and then brought in Steve DeBerg and then handed the reins over to Steve DeBerg and let him take it the rest of the way. So it kind of a little bit of experiences in Doug's background where he learned this from. But, you know, last year before we were getting ready to play the Eagles, I was on the field talking to Doug, and he says the decision to send Sam Bradford to Minnesota, it was Carson Wentz helped him make that decision. It was because of how well prepared he was, how well he was doing at practice, how well that he was able to absorb information on a daily basis that helped the development of the offense as a whole. So I don't think this is something that these guys went out on a limb and they took their chances with how he was going to do. It was they were getting enough evidence by the reps that he was giving that, look, we need to give him more reps. I think he's going to be ready a little bit faster than we initially thought, so it has to change our thinking process. And then you see what happened after that when they were able to, you know, get some draft choices for Sam Bradford, and Carson Wentz had the rookie season he did.
And I'd like to add this, because Pat Shurmur, he was the offensive coordinator of the Rams when Bradford was drafted. Guess what Pat Shurmur ran? The same offense as Doug Peterson. Because, you know, Pat spent a lot of time in Philadelphia in that Andy Reid system. So it's not like, you know, it didn't take Sam Bradford a long time to get caught up to snuff and what they were asking him to do and those type of things. He had played quite a bit and had been in that offense before. And you could say the same thing for both Mark Sanchez and even when they added Chase Daniel. Granted, they traded away Sanchez to Denver, but Chase Daniel came from where? Where Doug Peterson had him, in Kansas City. So it's not like those quarterbacks were behind at all in the offensive terminology and what was expected, so they could dedicate more reps knowing that those other two quarterbacks didn't need them. So Carson Wentz was able to get more reps on the field knowing that those other quarterbacks had been in that offense, knew how it functioned and what they were being asked to do already.
Bears offensive coordinator Dow Loggins talked about how when he was at Tennessee, he had a similar situation where he had Vince Young and Kerry Collins. And Young, you'll recall, I know he flamed out as an NFL quarterback, but early on in his National Football League career, he was able to have a little bit of success. And then he mentioned Jake Locker and Matt Hasselbeck when they were together with the Titans. Locker, I believe, is the last first-round pick at the quarterback position in the NFL to actually sit and not play for an entire season. So a lot of times you hear teams say that they don't want to play the rookie and allow him time to groom, but clearly it doesn't happen that often, and there are going to be circumstances like you guys talked about where that guy's got to be ready to go, and he might have to go faster than maybe you felt initially when the season started.
Yeah,
you know, that's the norm of the NFL now, unfortunately. But because, you know, generations ago when quarterbacks were drafted, they were expected to sit there and carry a clipboard for a year or two, understand the complexities of the system and the defenses they're going to face, and then kind of take over for the quarterback that's in front of them. Now, just because the public opinion is so strongly felt from every football player on a team, that if you're a quarterback and your quarterback is not having the success that you think the guy behind him will have, it's just everybody's calling for their jobs nowadays. And I think it's unfortunate for the quarterback position, because it'd be nice if each one of them had a year to sit before they had to go out there and play.
Yeah, you hope that's just not happenstance where they're forced in there. You want them to be ready to protect themselves when they step on the field. We brought this up before. Tommy Maddox go down, Ben Roethlisberger's thrown into the fire. Look at Baltimore. I mean, Troy Smith gets tonsillitis, Joe Flacco's thrown into the fire as a rookie. Those teams did not want to play those quarterbacks right away, but happenstance led it in that direction. And even last year, look at Jeff Fisher. He tried like hell to keep the young Jared Goff out of the lineup. That pressure was mounting every single week. They weren't winning games. Their offense looked terrible. Hey, put in the rookie. Put in Jared Goff. And Jeff Fisher was steadfast, saying, the kid's not ready. He's not ready. I'm not putting him in there, and I'm not throwing him to the Wolves. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out for Mitchell Trubisky, but he's got to take advantage of it. Even though he may not be starting, he's got to prove that he can. And when he's ready, that's when he'll be put on the field.
Yeah, I think Locker might have played in his rookie year, but he didn't start, and that's the key, you know, because if you get playing time and they don't use you again as a starter, well, that tells you a little something. By the way, Tom, we heard so much about Mitchell Trubisky's ability to move and his accuracy, and granted, they didn't have the pads on in rookie minicamp and all that kind of stuff, but from what you were able to see on tape, did you see the signs, the things that wowed the scouts? Did you see that from Trubisky?
Yeah, you know, he's just fluid. Running outside the pocket comes easy to him. His ability to aim the targets downfield, whether he's moving to his right or his left, he can do it with efficiency. And I do think that's something that you wanted to see in any quarterback is, okay, is this guy even a threat that you could possibly run a zone read to get an overzealous defensive end out of position and make yards with it a couple times? Those are the types of things and the types of threats you want to have on your quarterback that kind of keep the defense on edge.
I know accuracy was never a problem for Jim, but man, if you had the wheels that a Mitchell Trubisky has, you'd still be playing today.
I'll tell you what, it helps out. Those guys are big and fast out there now. You got to be able to run away from them. He's got the athletic ability to do it.
Yeah, you were just strong. You could take the hit, you know?
If they had Chipotle, I would still be playing.
I love it. All right, we'll talk next week. Bears begin OTAs for Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Saveman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.